Sunday nights, we are looking at what we have called Solomon's School. And since we enrolled in that school in the autumn of last year, we are looking at the practical, if you like, side of biblical Christianity. We have enrolled and have studied courses like friendship, speaking the truth, message of wisdom, making mom and dad happy, guidance. All these were lessons given to you. But tonight I'm going to turn the tables and I'm going to preach to myself and to Pastor Jack. Because Solomon in his school has a course for pastors, a course for shepherds, a course to enable us to do our work more efficiently, more energetically, more warmly, more people-centered, more God-centered, more scripture-centered. So, even though you have had more of the cherry than we have, notwithstanding, bear patiently that you will see that in Solomon's school, he does not only speak to the sheep, but also to the shepherds. It has always been our practice, or my practice as one of your pastors, never ever to play down the word of God. Sometimes it seems that I am building a tower for myself or for ourselves. That's all right. If God says build, I must build. And sometimes it seems I'm bringing the whole building down upon my head or upon our heads for the simple reason. God says pull down. You have to pull down. It's as simple as that. Now, I will not worry you with too much introduction. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27. And listen to what Solomon is telling us, especially your elders, about pastoral care. Proverbs 27, and I will take one verse. It is the verse 23 in the curriculum of Solomon. And it tells us this: be diligent to know the state of your flock and attend to your herds. This is the language of shepherds in an agricultural situation. Now, looking at the text, there are simply two things Solomon says to us. Solomon uses particular language, and Solomon shows particular duties. These are the two things. Let us look at the particular language of Solomon. In verse 23, according to our text in the version we read, stands. But perhaps the version we are reading may not be as accurate as others. For instance, the Greek translation of the Old Testament translated the verse like this: do thou thoroughly know the number of thy flock, and pay attention to thine herd. You see that? Do thoroughly know the number of your flock, and pay attention to your herd. The English Standard Version translates it as follows: know well the condition of your flocks, and give attention to your herds. So really, the word in verse 23 translated diligent gives us a completely different meaning. And what Solomon is saying to us here as shepherds, as elders, is this: to know our sheep, to consider our sheep well, to be careful in directing, in caring, in regarding, in preaching, in teaching, in ministering to our flock, directing our attention to our herds, to the simple as well as to the not so simple, to the strong as well as to the weak. The whole flock must be the center of our minds, our thoughts, our hearts. Oh, Solomon is saying something like this to us, my brother, to you and to me. He's saying, set your minds on your flock. Give heed to the flock. Pay attention to the flock. Reflect upon the flock. Meditate upon the flock. Study the flock. Give yourself to the flock. Do not discriminate when it comes to the flock. Give the flock your own attention, your prayer, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Because judgment day is coming when we must give God an account. And our judgment will be more severe than what God will give to the flock. James tells us, be not many teachers, for we shall receive the worse condemnation. So the word diligence then is not as easy as we think. Now, very interestingly, Solomon was a good neighbor. And with most of us, if not all of us, we have gardens. Our neighbors have their gardens. We look over the fence, they look over the fence. They see our gardens, we see our gardens. And then to illustrate what he means when he said to us, be diligent, he said, look, let me give you an illustration of what I mean. And if you do not take my word seriously, you will have real problem. That's what he's saying. Turn to chapter 24 of Proverbs. Chapter 24 of Proverbs. And look at his illustration. Look at verse 32, what he says to us in Proverbs 24. He says this: when I saw it, here is our word translated considered, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. What was it he saw that he pondered, he analyzed, he searched, he researched most carefully? He tells us it was the garden of his neighbor. Look at verse 31. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. Why was this the case? What kind of neighbor was that person? Solomon tells us in verse 30. When I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of a man or of the man void of this understanding, he saw it. Now, what instruction did he receive as he saw all this disarray in an unkept garden? He tells us, the reason behind the chaos, the weed, the thorn, the disarray. He gives us the reason in verse 33. Look at what he tells us. Here was the reason. A little slumber or a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so your poverty will come like a prowler and your want like an armed man. What is he saying? As that lazy neighbor failed to look after his garden, as you see so much weed and mess and chaos and thorns and thistles, the wall or the fence is broken, and somewhat sometimes you are annoyed because the neighbor is not looking after his property. And you have all the slugs coming over, and all the nettles coming over, and all the thorns coming over, and all the cats coming over, messing up your own garden. You get annoyed. The fence is broken. No one looks after it. He cares less. Ah, said Solomon, in a similar way, the flock of God will be. If we are lazy, if we are careless, if we do not hold fast to the injunction he's given to us, if we do not contemplate, if we do not work to maintain the garden, God's fence, God's flowers, God's truth, God's people, God's fruit, God's precious ones, God's lawn, if we are not careful, because we are husbandmen, farmers, we are workers together with God in his garden to look after his sheep, if we don't, the judgment of God will be upon us and will become an object of scorn and disgrace. That's what he's saying. So as he reflected, as he considered, he saw, he understood. Hence, he's saying to us, God's people are the object of his care. They are the precious jewels. They are the ones for whom Christ died. They are not ordinary people, although they are ordinary people. They are citizens of heaven. They are the precious children of God. They are the precious wealth of God. God has entrusted them to us. God has said we must look after them. And if we allow diseases, curls, weeds, heresy, discouragement, or any other thing come in and destroy the flock of God, God does not hold them responsible. God holds us responsible. Therefore, we must admire them. We must manicure them. We must pay attention to them. They have first place in our attention, first place in our hearts, first place. They are to call us whenever, at any time, at any hour, day and night. We are not to be frustrated by them. We are not to allow their telephone call, disturbing our food, disturbing our sleep, disturbing our family. We are appointed as workers for God, with God, in the garden of God. And Solomon is saying, if we do not look after that flock extremely carefully, the great shepherd is going to take a dim view of us. As the shepherd of the flock successfully came, preached, lived, died, rose, ascended, seated, he's praying for them, he's governing all the affairs of nations, of individuals, of islands, of society, you name it, he has everything under his control for the benefit of his sheep. And these very sheep have recognized, appointed us to be shepherds, not to do our own thing, not to lord it over them, not to think we are better than them, not to think we are the great boss, not to think we are the great crown, but slaves and bondslaves, laborers with Jesus Christ in his vineyard, to tend, to prune, to prepare, to spray, to give manure and all the necessary ingredients so that his sheep may grow in grace, in knowledge, in faith, in beauty, in holiness, and get to heaven. If we don't, and they do not get to heaven, then God will hold us responsible, not them. Solomon is saying, could it be? I don't know. But brethren, let me move away a little from us. But could it be that when Solomon himself went astray, the nation suffered? Remember when he sinned? What happened? The whole thing exploded. And there was a split in the nation. Ancient Israel became two kingdoms, northern and southern. All because of Solomon's sins. Could it be he's saying, I was at fault. It was my sin. It was my fault. I didn't take notice. I didn't pay attention. I had the glamour. I had the splendor. I had the thing. I had the Rolls Royce. I had the this. I had the that. I had the other. And I neglected them. Could it be that? I don't know. But it may well be. That's what Solomon is saying to us as elders. Okay? So all I have done here is to open up the meaning of the word diligent. It's not as simple as it is translated here in our text. It's a comprehensive word, if you like. Probably not so comprehensive, but full of meaning. So, this is the language of the course, of the lesson of Solomon's word to us. Second thing, the duties Solomon lays upon us. The duties he lays upon us. Look at it in verse 23. Be diligent to know the state of your flock, and attend to your herds. I have deduced four duties here, which may help us. One, it is our God-given duty to ensure that the sheep is safe. It is our God-given duty to ensure that his sheep is safe. Let me explain. We are to ensure that the path upon which the sheep is walking is not a path we have cut for them. It's not a path we have paved for them, but it is a path that the shepherd has cut for them, the shepherd has paid for them, and the fence where the shepherd has placed them to walk carefully, slowly, with a hedge one way, a hedge the other way, and lots of grass and food ahead of them, so that they grow, they eat, they can sleep, they can rejoice, they can feed, and feeding them beside the still waters, as well as grazing them, giving them all the nutrients they need to become fat lambs of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That means if they go astray, What are we to do? We are to go after them. We are not simply saying, well, they have gone. Oh no. Jesus Christ was the supreme shepherd. And look at what he did, or he says to us, when sheep go astray, what we are to do. Turn to Luke chapter 15, please. Luke chapter 15, please. I'm trying to negotiate, keeping my eyes on my subject, keeping my eyes on Pastor Jack, keeping my eyes on you, keeping my eyes on me, or on myself. Nevertheless, I'll try to negotiate all of this. But look at this. Jesus Christ was welcoming a group of people that religious people thought, well, you shouldn't have them. They shouldn't come near you. They are the riffraff. They are the no goods. Ah, you know, the most snobbish people under the sun sometimes are religious people. They are the most snobbish. And they were snubbing God's shepherd, the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus. And look at what he said to them in Luke 15, verse 1. We are told, then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him. Not why? To hear him. And the Pharisees, the separatists, and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. With the back of the hand, they dismissed the Lord Jesus. But he answered them. He spoke to them a parable, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. What is he saying? The Lord Jesus is given to us, if you like, the science of shepherding. Of how to look after his sheep, one has gone astray. What does the shepherd do? The shepherd follows the sheep. Remember, Bona, I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love the shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. What did the shepherd do? Well, he has gone astray. No, the shepherd sought the sheep. The father sought his child. They followed me over vale and dale, over desert, waste and wild. They found me near to death, famine and lost and lone. They bound me with the cords of love. They saved the wandering one. Ah, said Jesus, to reclaim them, we need to know the track they have taken. And we follow that track. We follow the scent. We mark well, the shepherds mark well, the footprints of the sheep. He examines the footprint to find out whether this is the footprints of a sheep. The shepherd goes on his knees to examine the droppings of the sheep. Are the droppings fresh or are the droppings stale? He's careful. He handles the droppings. He examines the droppings. Is it hard or is it moist? He carefully notices where the sheep spend the night. He touches the ground. Is it a little warm or is it damp? Was it there it spent the night? Was it last night? Was it the previous night? The shepherd is examining. He wants a sheep. He's following carefully the scent. He touches the ground. Then as the shepherd follows the track and the brushwood, he picks up the little pieces of wool, tucked, and he takes it. He examines the texture. He tries to find out the color. Is it the color of the sheep? He examines it for the texture and so on and so forth. The color, because it is a sheep. He's concerned. The shepherd here is a forensic shepherd. He's a forensic expert. He's examining, he's researching, he's carefully analyzing because the sheep has gone astray and he is going after the sheep. The shepherd in seeking is alert. He listens to everything. He watches everything. He watches the movement of every shadow he can find, just in case it is the sheep. He listens to every noise. It may be a bird, it may be a fox, but he listens. His heart beats. As he walks, he speaks to the sheep. He calls the sheep by its name. Yay, Jane, John, Lamb. Because the sheep would know the shepherd's voice. The shepherd sometimes imitates the sheep. He bleats, baa, baa, baa. He speaks to the sheep. He speaks to other shepherds. I have lost my sheep. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? The shepherd is anxious and as well as afraid. What if the sheep was stolen? What if the sheep was killed by a wolf? The shepherd would look for the blood. The shepherd would look for the blood stains. The shepherd would look for every mark. If it was stolen, the shepherd would look for the footprints. What if the leg of the sheep was broken? The shepherd would follow the trail. Is the leg being dragged? Or is it pouncing? The shepherd would know. Has the sheep fallen on the cliff? The shepherd would follow the trail close to the cliff and examines the grass and finds out whether the sheep got there. And the shepherd, if he sees an animal, a bear, a lion, he's determined to fight for his sheep. He's determined to lay down his life for his sheep, as David did with the lion and the bear. So by the time Goliath came, he was ready for him. The shepherd fights. The shepherd prays. The shepherd is anxious. The shepherd runs. The shepherd walks. The shepherd sleeps. The shepherd is exhausted. The shepherd's desire to find his sheep. A hireling doesn't do this because a hireling is paid. That is his paid job. He's not going to spend energy and effort for the sheep. The sheep doesn't belong to him. But here is the shepherd. Every movement, every trail, every track, every voice, every shake in the bushwood, wherever he calls, every munching, and suddenly before his eyes, here it is! And the shepherd longs for his sheep. Get hold of the sheep with such joy and lifts the sheep up, puts the sheep behind his neck, and then journeys all the way back to the village or to the fold. And when he places the sheep in the pen, he calls all his fellow shepherds, let's have a party, let's have a sheep party. But I found my sheep that was lost. And all the shepherds come. How did you find it? And they are talking, they are conversing, while they are eating, while they are drinking. They are happy. The sheep is there. The flock is there. They are sniffing each other, trying to speak to each other. How did you get there? How did you get there? How did you get there? Ah, said the Lord Jesus. Similar things are happening in heaven. The angels are really having, if I may put it reverently, a good time. Because God is happy that the sheep was found. See what Solomon is saying? See what Solomon is saying? He's saying, be diligent to know the state of your flock. Attend to your herd. We miss them. We have to call them, telephone them, find out where they are. Send them texts and emails and telephone. But it's better, the sheep want to hear the shepherd's voice. Finding out everyone they are missed. Oh, they may misinterpret the telephone call. They may misinterpret. They say, well, that's an interference. Well, leave them. But you are concerned. We simply cannot afford the luxury of leaving sheep alone. We can't do that. We go to bed with them, we get up with them, and our whole life is intertwined with the life of the sheep. We fence them in, yes, by instruction and exhortation, by warning, by counsel, by prayer, by feeding them with wholesome food, ensuring that we get all the teak from under the wool and in the ears and so on and so forth. We get the vet in, we are vet, we do all these work, yes. But you know, the sheep must constantly feel the breath of the shepherd. Because the shepherd is always among his sheep. In the old days, shepherds sleep with their sheep. As we find in Luke chapter 2, the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. And they had a visitation from heaven. Not the high priest in his palace. No, the angels didn't go there. Probably these were not shepherds at all, said the Lord Jesus. The hungry sheep was looking, but they were not fed. You see? So here is the science, if you like, of shepherding, going after the flock. Second duty. It is our duty and responsibility to take the sheep seriously. Our duty and responsibility to take the sheep seriously. To take what they say seriously. Their bleating seriously. Their irritability seriously. Their annoyance seriously. Their reaction seriously. Some shepherds are too quick to condemn the sheep. Solomon said, no. The sheep will not always want you to look after it. Some sheep are determined to go astray. Some are determined to do their own thing. Some are determined to butt the shepherd. When we went to Worcester just for a day or two, we were on a farm. And there was the lady, the shepherd. She had a big black mark. I said, how did you get that, Lucy? He said, come around. And he took me around the corner. And here was the ram. The ram gave her a butt. He said, okay, I'll put you here in detention. But then she fed it, she looked after it, she didn't leave it. All these sheep, some sheep, simply do not know what is best for them. But the shepherd must. The shepherd need to linger. The shepherd need to cry. The shepherd need to watch. The shepherd need to pray. I think perhaps this is the idea behind that classical painting of, you see, Jesus standing with a lantern and the door was locked and is knocking gently, quietly. Perhaps that's what the artist had in mind. Not all the sheep will go astray all the time. Some of the sheep will go astray some of the time. Not all the sheep will give us headaches all the time. Some of the sheep will give us headaches some of the time. Some of the sheep will be awkward. They will give us a butt or two, and tell us a thing or two. But what do? We cannot cut them off. We cannot cut ourselves off. Cut our emotion from them. Cut our affection from them. No, they are Christ's sheep. He died for them. He died to purchase them. He died to redeem them. He loved them. He died for them. He rose for them. He ascended for them. He's in heaven for them. He's praying for them. He shall come back for them. And then he tells us in John 10, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The shepherd's duty then, he must know how, when, where, why, and what to feed the sheep, to know the sheep, to look after the sheep. All these are simple words, but they are profound, my brother. Too often in many places, there is no connection between shepherd and sheep. Especially in our busy society. Our instruction to the sheep need to be warm and attractive and intelligent and didactic and sanctifying. They must be built up and grow in grace. They must be healthy sheep. We must look into their mouths. We must look into their teeth. We must look into their wools. We must look at their feet. We must ensure that there are no diseases. The sheep is going on as we go to the dentist, as we go to the doctor, as we go here, as we go there. So also is the sheep. We are doctors. God is appointed for his sheep. And when the sheep defect or deviate, we must not fold our arms and say, oh, well, they all do that anyway. Well, you lose some and you gain some. Oh, no, we can't do that. We have to follow them wisely. We have to follow them carefully. Some people don't like that kind of shepherd watching. I can look after myself all right. I can fend for myself, all right, fine. There are sheep who can look after themselves and they don't give us any problem. We just leave them alone once in a while. We talk to this one to talk to the other one. Yes, but whatever it is, there must be close connection between shepherd and sheep. The shepherd need to avoid what I call sinful self-protectionism. Sinful self-preservationism. And to preserve ourselves, to protect ourselves from the barrage of the sheep, from the battering of the sheep, from the grumbling of the sheep, from the kicking of the sheep, from the butting of the sheep, we preserve ourselves. And we give to the sheep just little muscles that will just keep them quiet, like as you give to a child a little dummy to keep it quiet. No! No! We should not allow neither temperament nor culture, reluctance or what have you, to create a barrier between us and the sheep. And the best way to preserve God's sheep, the apostle tells the elders, from among yourselves, people will grow up to draw sheep away. And he said to them, savages will come from outside, wolves to snatch sheep away. He said, watch. In Hebrews, we must watch over their souls and give God an account. Now, we cannot pray for the sheep intelligently if we do not know anything about the sheep. When it comes to praying for the sheep, it's not a passing thing. Oh Lord, remember Jane and John and Paul and Harry, amen. No, that is hiring work. We need to pray for them one by one. Pray for Mrs. Jones, Mr. Jones, Miss Jones, Master Jones, and all the little Jones. It may mean we'll spend one day, my brother, praying for one family, and that takes up our whole prayer. But that's what we must do. We cannot fob them off in prayer before God. We can't do that. We need to know them. We need to know what makes them tick, what makes them hurt. And the best way to know that is that we should visit them. We speak to them at church, yes. Visit them in their homes. Make appointments to see the sheep, to have family worship with them, to have family discourse with them. All this is part and parcel. Some years ago we did that, and people get all heated up as though elders were trying to snoot. And in many ways, we backed off. But going back to Solomon's school, Solomon shows that this is wrong. This is wrong. This is not right. We should not deal with the sheep this way. You see? And it is our duty to administer wholesome food of encouragement, of counsel, profitable, reasonable, compassionate. Pure religion, James says, is undefiled before God, which is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. He said to the Thessalonians, remember the feeble, remember Mrs. Halting, remember the weak, remember the strong, exhort this one, speak to that one, speak to the other one. Do not avoid any sheep. And the ministry of instruction and personal devotion. That there be no, they are praying, they are reading, and then we do not impose upon them our own subjectivism. We need to know the scriptures as shepherd, how to encourage them. Probably they are so busy, they cannot cope. Well, take one scripture, take one portion, or take one psalm, read a line, part of the verse, turn that verse into prayer as you are shaving, as you are showering, as you are washing, as you are dressing, as you are running into your car, as you are taking your train, as you are taking your bus. Mamamate, meditate, make mouths of those scriptures. Because the word meditate, making mouth. Have you ever seen people who are little not bad? Well, that's it means. Make mouth. Speak to yourselves. And so are people. Then there are times when you got to spend a longer time to read and to pray. So therefore, our people do not feel as though they are second class sheep. You must never give them that impression. You must never infuriate them. You must never despise them. You must never reject them. All the sheep are equal with God. Whatever their size is, they are God's sheep. So Solomon is saying to us, it's more than diligent. No, set your mind upon your work. Consider the estate. Consider your herds. Consider them carefully. And work to ensure that they get to heaven. But there is another duty in that verse, namely, a purposeful duty. a purposeful duty. Be diligent. Be careful to know the state of your sheep. It's purposeful. We are to make it our aim to know well the condition of our flock. We are to pay careful attention to their needs, to the herds, to the flock. Get to know them, get to know how to teach them, how to instruct them, how to lead them along. Not all are as healthy as we think. There are tremendous trouble, especially in our culture, when people have to suppress everything or hide everything, and they wait for one thing, and then people explode, and you have big problems on your hand. We are to listen to their separate crying, their separate grumbling, and listen carefully, and open up the scriptures, examining the scriptures, showing them the scriptures, what the scriptures say. They may not like it, but they are sheep. And the great shepherd will come and teach them his word. That means we are to sit where they sit. We are to eat what they eat. We are to kneel where they kneel. We are to breathe the atmosphere they breathe. And we must be experienced physicians looking after the sheep, looking after them mentally, physically, emotionally, psychologically, in every realm, because they are being prepared for glory, for heaven. Listen to the criticisms of the sheep. Sometimes we don't like that. But sometimes their criticisms are fair. Their evaluations are fair. Their objectives are fair. Their questions are fair. We should not get all annoyed. No. We should not lord it over them. Don't get me wrong. And yet at the same time, we should never hesitate to open up the scriptures to the sheep, because that's the manual. That's what Solomon is saying. That's our manual. That's what we have. That's our textbook. That's for the academy. That's for the school of Christ. Solomon is saying, these are the refresher courses we need as shepherds if we are to minister to our sheep. Let me give an illustration to you in general. Remember in the upper room when the Lord was speaking to the apostles, and it was Peter who piped up saying, "Oh no, Lord, if anyone forsakes you, I'm not going to forsake you, not me." Very well. And you know, he denied him three times. And he wept bitterly. Remember, all the time he was weeping, Christ was in his tomb. And he knew what was happening. And what did Christ do on resurrection morning? The women came to the tomb. And others came to the tomb. And he said to them, "Go and tell very carefully, my disciples." He did not dissociate himself from them, even though they had deserted him. He used the personal pronoun, "my disciples, my own disciples, my precious disciples. They belong to me. Go and tell them." And then he said, "By the way, take this little note to Peter." And Peter, Mark tells us, because Mark was close to Peter, and it is Mark who brought that out. Why "and Peter"? Because Peter had sinned in a particular way, in a public way. And Peter had great grief, got great sorrow, had great pain.
And Peter needed some special word from the great shepherd. So he said, go and tell my disciples. Yes, Peter is included, but take this special note to Peter. And you can imagine, you mean he still loves me? Yes, Peter. He sends this letter to me? He said, yes, Peter. And when the Lord, before the Lord reinstated him, he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter backed down. He said, Lord, you know I love. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me more than these? And the word love there is a love for emotion. As the apostle mentioned in 1 Corinthians, if anyone do not love the Lord Jesus, it is not the usual word for love. It is a love that is full of emotion, that is full of passion. That's what Peter lacked. And then he broke down and said, Lord, you know I love you. Ah, Peter, let me tell you something. When you were young, you could do your own thing, go your own way, plow your own field. You were your own boss. But I'll tell you something. The day is going to come when you will have to lay down your life for me. And your love for me will be such, you will even refuse to die the way I died for you. To die for me in the way I died for you. And church history tells us, when Peter was being crucified, he said, no, crucified me upside down. I am not worthy to be crucified erect as my Savior. And in that death, Peter brought tremendous glory to his Savior. See that? So sometimes, some of the sheep will give us headache, heartache, problem, there. But nevertheless, we must do to them what the Lord did to Peter. Call them, write to them, speak to them. Don't ostracize them, nor avoid them. And who knows what God may do? Probably some people wrote Peter off. He's scrapped. Ah, not so Christ. But in closing, let me say one or two things to you, brethren. In the light of all that I have said to ourselves, to Pastor Jack and to myself, if we had to implement what Solomon is saying, then you are to give us the opportunity to do so. That when you are missed, we do not see you on Sundays and on Wednesdays. We're going to ask about you, about your absence. Oh, no one is going to interfere with me. I can do my own thing. All right. If you want to butt your shepherds in this way, it won't be to your profit. There must be a willingness on our part to help our shepherds to do their work carefully. There must be also a transparency among us if we are to do our work carefully. We must cooperate with our shepherds if they are to do their work carefully. There must be a fraternity, if you like, between shepherd and sheep, if the work is to be done carefully. There must be a frankness between shepherd and sheep, an honesty. Sometimes we like to hide. We give the wrong impression. No, it doesn't work this way. In other words, you will either make us better shepherds or worse shepherds. You say, what? Yes. Your response to our looking after you, to our loving you, to our shepherding you, will make us better shepherd or worse shepherd. Very interestingly, you know as well as I do, when people hurt you, what do you do? When people really hurt you, what do you do? Children, when your friend really hurt you, what do you do? Do you not feel it? I said, I ain't going to talk to you. Why should I talk to you? You hurt me. Why should I talk to you? Ah,
That's true, children. That's a right emotion to have. Or mom and dad tells you off. You go upstairs and you're troubled and you finish. And then she calls you down. You come down, you're all sheepish, all shy. She says, come on, son, eat your food, sit down. Oh, you mean, ma'am, you still love me? All right. Now, the word the Bible uses is this. When the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, is the same word for hurt. When we hurt the Holy Spirit, he backs off a little. He feels the hurt. He backs off a little. It is the same word that the Lord used for Peter. Peter, do you love me? Peter felt hurt and he felt grieved. That's the same word. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, if the Holy Spirit, when we hurt him, he feels it and he backs off a little, how much more when your shepherds seek to look after you, you hurt them, they back off a little. They back off. They put up their shield. Now that is not the way to make them good shepherds. Oh no. Oh no. You make them bad shepherds. But there must be that constant flow, a confluence, you see, between shepherd and sheep. Now, we are praying that God would send to us another full-time shepherd sheep. And as we are praying on Wednesdays, I've been listening over the months how you are praying about this. And it seemed to me, with some of us, we have a little confusion in our minds. Some think, I am on my way out. Others think, well, retirement is coming, he may go. Others have different opinion, different ideas. So there seems to be a tension in our minds. And what we have done is this. To help you as families to enter into praying for a shepherd, and boys and girls that involved you, praying among yourselves, to help us pray as families, and to help us pray as a church, we have prepared for you what we are going to do on Wednesdays. From 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, we have three pastors in those two books. And then you will be given a sheet, each of you tonight, to take it, use it as, if you like, the manual for your family worship. Not many verses at a time, just take one, probably two or three verses. That's all it is. Discuss it among yourselves. Take it. And children, what you can do with men is this. On Saturdays after school or Friday night, why not have a little study to pray for our pastors? Take that little, the men will give you a sheet also. Meet together. Only two or three verses from Thessalonians. Read it in your Bible. I said, boy, what is it saying? And then I've given you the title. You see, we have tried to work on that. And that will help us to enter into it. So when God is pleased to send to us another elder, we have entered into it. We know what we are looking for. Not only the qualifications in 1 Timothy, there are many, many other things that we need in. And therefore, as we read and as we pray, please make good use of it. Photocopy it. It's not copyright. Photocopy it. Make copies of it. You see. And send to your friends. Use it. Use for one another. And then let us pray together as a church so that a kind of incense of prayer will ascend to God. Every little home becomes a little church. And every little child and every parent becomes a priest as we pray. And when we gather brethren on Wednesdays, the first part, as that will be opened up to us very briefly, so we can enter into it. So therefore, we know what kind of shepherd we want.
I think I've said enough. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd give us much grace as shepherds, that we may do a good work for you, looking after your sheep well. We pray for the sheep that they will help us to become better shepherds as we watch over them. We pray as we pray as families, as individuals, and as a congregation for another shepherd. You will help us, and as we have this aid, help us, O Lord, so that in every way you will be gracious to us. We thank you, we praise you, we bless you for every kind mercy that you bestow upon us. O Lord, our God, we thank you through Jesus Christ. Amen.